The Water Values Podcast, Session 2.
Welcome to the Water Values Podcast. This is the podcast dedicated to water utilities, resources, treatment, reuse, and all things water. Now here's your host, Dave McGimson.
Hello, and welcome to the Water Values Podcast. Today, our guest is Jack Whitman, a hydrogeologist with Intera. Jack's a fascinating guy, and he's done work all over the United States. He's going to talk with us today about water planning issues. We're going to learn a lot about water planning, including the elements of a water plan, the importance of the data that goes into that water plan, and even some things you might not think about, like the relationship of water resources to investment in other public infrastructure, like highways. Now, as you know, before we get into the podcast, I need to make a few disclaimers. I'm a lawyer licensed in Colorado and Indiana, and nothing in this podcast should be taken as providing legal advice or as establishing an attorney-client relationship with you or with anyone else. Additionally, nothing in this podcast should be considered a solicitation for professional employment. I'm just a lawyer that finds water issues interesting and that believes greater public education is needed about water issues. And that includes enhancing my own education about water issues because no one knows everything about water. With that said, let's get on with it. Open the valves, fasten your seatbelts, and here we go. Well, Jack, thanks very much for joining us. Greatly appreciate your time here. To start off, Jack, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with water?
Well, I began my work in the water industry as a water treatment plant operator in Salt Lake City in 1980. I had a degree in science, but I didn't have a job, and I was working in the city doing any odd job at the time, and I applied and then ended up working at the City Creek Water Treatment Plant in Salt Lake City, Utah, and it was an excellent job. It really gave me a great sense of what has to happen when you take raw water out of a stream, which is what we did, treat it, and deliver it to the heart of downtown Salt Lake City. And that was one of the interesting things about that job, is that I had to record snowfall, precipitation, flows in the stream, and then how much we diverted into the plant, because we would most of the year take a fraction of the total flow in the stream. And so I kind of had this, I ended up learning about watershed hydrology just by watching the system work. It was really pretty interesting. But from there, what I did was I decided this was a really interesting field. I liked what I was beginning to learn at the treatment plant. So I left that job and went back to school, and went to school at Utah State University, where I got my bachelor's degree and got a master's degree in watershed science hydrology. And so I studied in under a group of watershed scientists and did work in the western desert of Utah looking at infiltration and how cattle, and then I looked at other disturbances, but particularly for my master's thesis, on the effect of cattle on soil compaction and infiltration rates in the Basin Range province. So that's how I got my beginning. That's my educational background. And then I went from there to the Division of Oil, Gas, and Mining as a mine reclamation hydrologist. And in that position, I was evaluating the reclamation plans for coal mines and mineral hard rock mines in different places in Utah, evaluating basically whether they had culverts in the right places, whether the cross sections for the streams or the ditches were proper, and whether they could handle floods that might occur. When I was in that position, I ended up working on nuclear waste isolation, which happened kind of at the same time, and ended up in the governor's office doing that, working on the review of the Department of Energy's plans for building a deep geologic repository. And they had three potential sites identified in Utah. And I led the technical team that evaluated that proposal. And it got me really deep in the political and science sides of groundwater. And it was a great position. I moved from there to the Yakima Indian Nation, where I had a job for about 5 years working for the tribe as their hydrologist. And they were reviewing the Hanford site's plan. They had narrowed the prospect for a deep repository to three sites. And I worked there, ended up doing all sorts of things, working on agricultural impacts, working on the effects of high-capacity wells, all sorts of cool work. I kind of took this long arc in the West before I